The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and was feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you receive good things and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from here, from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of Jesus' parables are designed to be an awakening for us. It's kind of like a sort of slap in our face to wake us up to reality. And the stories that we read in chapter 15 and 16 of Luke's Gospel have something all to do with wealth and repentance. And these parables bring the lives of Lazarus, the poor beggar, and the rich man to the forefront so that we may observe them and learn from them. Their lives, of course, they were far from perfect, just like you and me. But definitely, it sounds like the rich man did enjoy his wealth very much. He did enjoy his wealth with no regards to the poor behind his gate. And they both died. And Jesus proceeded to tell us the story of what happened following the kind of lives that they had lived before they died and here on earth. And I'm afraid this is all too real for us as well. We have the rich in our community, and we have also the poor in our community. And God's charge for us is very clear. Be sensitive to the needs of others while you still can. And that's the issue here, isn't it? While you still can, who else could be compassionate once you are gone? It's impossible. If you are gone, then you have no opportunities anymore to be compassionate to other people. So the lesson here says, be compassionate while you still can. I know most of you may have watched the funeral of Her Majesty, the Queen of England. As you can expect, it was magnificent. It was a huge state affair, and social media went crazy. On one hand, there was the positive. The Queen left a commendable legacy. She was a devoted Christian believer, and she was a stable state presence. And on the other hand, some reports were not really very savory. They said, like, the colonizer dies. However insensitive or maybe out of place that may sound, it brings to mind our own journey to death. What will be said about us? Have you thought about that? Well, what will be said about us when we are gone? Will it be just our successes and not the failures? Will it be? What kind of life have we lived so far? Think about it. What kind of life have we lived so far to this point? Is it a selfish one, disconnected to the suffering around us? I'm not suggesting the queen was selfish. I don't know her. But I'm saying, are we living a life that is pleasing to God? Yes, the queen was a rich woman. And I want to contrast that with something else. Every day, poor people like Lazarus die in our communities. So if there were to be like a headline, it would be like, John Doe dies after having lived years on the streets. We don't hear about that very much, do we? No pompous funeral. The truth is, the afterlife indeed may be shocking to us, as Jesus says. If we love God, we will respond compassionately to his call to treat others sensitively. And the truth of our world is like this. There is a huge disparity in terms of wealth. I don't think that I can pray for all the people in the world to have the same amount of wealth. Will that be? I don't think so. There has always been a disparity of wealth in the world, and God knows about that. But God also knows how tragic it is that often we are so much concerned more about our wealth than we are concerned about our souls. And we tend to think that our wealth will save us when we get into a big trouble and we could die if we don't have wealth. Really? Will we die if we don't have all this wealth? Will we die? I am a huge witness here. When the war began in my homeland in the 90s, we all thought, it's temporary. In a couple of months, we will be back into our own home because we were displaced. We were gone from our homes. We were thinking, our side will win. We will win, and then we'll return back into our homes. Our side didn't win. And we left the country with nothing and lived on the generosity of others for years. And God was in charge still. And the prophet Jeremiah here, what we've read today, was indeed in the same situation. Jerusalem was besieged by its enemies, the Babylonians, and he was in prison, and God tells him, things are going to return back to normal again. But in the meantime, your enemies are going to win. That's why I'm telling you, go back and buy some field. Go buy a property. Who buys a property when you're not winning a war? Nobody, right? But God says to him, go buy a property and then put it in a very safe place that can have those documents for a long time, because you're going to need that. Have hope. Everything is going to return back to normal. If you find yourself in the situation like Lazarus, take heart. God will deliver you. Lazarus' situation might have been despair, uncertainty, hunger, and pain, and possibly more worse than that. Read Psalm 91, please, and be encouraged. God is yet to turn the situation upside down for you if you continue to cry out to him. Now, the example of this rich man may be puzzling to us because we are not told that he was rich in dishonest ways or even that he might have exploited the poor. No. He actually was very successful at what he did, and he gained money. Have you ever heard about someone telling people, all this money that I have here, I worked for it. It's my own. I really sweat over it. It's my own money. Have you heard that from our friends? And we do that also. But here's the thing. and this is a slap in our face. The last will be first, and the first will be last. He didn't expect that. He saw only success in his own life and ended up not being success in the afterlife because he did not care about what God cared for. And all this wealth, billions of dollars that they are saying in the United Nations, and how many people are the rich person here in the United States, all this wealth is on loan to us from God. And we should actually know that. The point that Jesus was making is that finally this whole wealth that he had all taken and thought that would save him no longer could save him in the afterlife. Again, if we love God, we will respond compassionately to his call to serve and treat others sensitively. Of course, there will not be any more warning from the afterlife. Shape up, go out and, you know, serve the poor. Be compassionate on others. Nobody else is going to warn you to tell you exactly what's coming in the afterlife. So we need to act accordingly now before it's too late. We cannot repent later. It doesn't exist. We cannot repent later. It's now. And it's true that in our communities, we might not have people like Lazarus in our neighborhoods, not certainly not in mine. But it is very possible to help those organizations that do help the poor in those situations. And Paul tells us that the love of money is a root for all evils. And our eagerness to be rich actually takes us away from faith and brings us so much pain to us in the end. Instead, Paul says to us, be rich in good works. Be generous. Be ready to share. Your tunic, your stuff that you feel like it's been, we've accumulated so much that I have in my own house. Let's make sure we just give and share that as much as we can. If we love God, remember, we will respond compassionately to his call to treat others sensitively. Amen.